This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us.
Hi, my name is Chad Ostrowski. I am a software engineer. You make more money if you say software engineer instead of web developer.
Is that right?
They're the same thing. Yeah. There's like a 10 to 15% price difference on like Indeed.com or whatever.
Nah.
Yeah. For like... So how much you get paid, like what people are willing to pay
right.
software engineers versus web developers.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't
That's either. A thing, yeah.
But do you want to reintroduce yourself under a fake name so people know to still pay you the right amount?
Oh, like, so people don't, they're not like, oh, he's just a web developer.
Yeah.
Not a software engineer.
This guy's totally duping us. He's a web developer. Listen to him.
Yeah, what's Chad backwards? The... Dach?
Yeah, it doesn't really work.
No.
No.
Oh, well.
No.
Well, I tried.
Also known as Chad O.
Chad O.
Lovingly at the Candy Factory, where we are all members.
Yes.
It's great to have you on the show.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
For those listening at home or wherever you're listening, we are going to spin through five random topics. We're going to spend 5 minutes each just waxing about those topics, sharing our, I don't know, insight. Expertise.
I thought you were going to add poetically
knowledge.
On it because we're pretty poetic.
Are we?
I think.
I thought you said politically.
Well,
we could do that too.
We're going to wax politically on every one of these random topics.
Yes.
Wax politically and poetically. It's going to be a feat.
Is waning poetically a thing?
I don't think that's a thing.
Waxing politically, waning poetically.
Oh, there we go.
That's a novel.
That is a novel.
Chad's going to write a novel called Waxing Politically, Waning... No, wait.
Waning Poetically.
All right, so we're ready to get started. Here we go.
Sure.
All right.
We're going to queue up our first topic, and our iPad app is giving it to us. Things to Do Lancaster / Doers is the name of this topic, presented by my friend Diggs.
All right.
What are you thinking?
Well, I was thinking this would be a perfect time for you to queue up Doers, the podcast, if our listeners have not heard it yet.
Thank you very much. It's almost like we planned this.
Except we didn't, we promise.
We just, so at the Candy Factory, we recently launched a podcast called Doers. And there's actually a long history, which I think is what this topic is really about.
It is.
For our Lancaster-centric friends. Chad, are you from this area?
I did not grow up here, no. I've only lived here for 3.5 years now.
Okay, so this goes back behind, before the Chad time, right?
It does.
There was a...
BC.
There was a... before Chad?
Yeah.
There was a website called Things to Do Lancaster. And Diggs, you might know more about it than I do.
Yeah, so I actually happened to be the social media person for it.
I did not know that.
I was for, I think it was 9 months. And Rhoda Marketing, Matt Rhoda and his brother... and his Matt's then girlfriend and also Chris Brimehurst was involved.
Is that right?
Yeah, with Rhoda. So I got involved with Things to Do Lancaster because of Chris. So they just wanted a college student to help with social media. Chris knew that I liked doing social media, so I got involved basically just helping them post their paid advertisements from like Mises Candies or the Puppet Theater, which I believe has a different name now. And then I stopped working with them, and I know it.
Yeah, so then to pick it up, Things to Do Lancaster was this website, social like Facebook page, and it was a general theme, right? Mm-hmm. General like what to do in Lancaster. And Ann Kirby from the Candy Factory, eventually when Matt Rhoda left town and had run it, I think for a little while even after that, she acquired it. So the Candy Factory acquired this website. Well, Things to Do Lancaster. Boy, this is a long to get from there to here.
I know.
But here's where it goes.
3 minutes left.
Here's where it goes is that Things to Do Lancaster became a Candy Factory project, which was then converted to just Do, D-O. And it became regionalized. So the idea was that it was Things to Do PA, and it was for the central PA region. So here at the Candy Factory... It, for a couple of years, the website and the social media stuff continued under that moniker. and eventually got folded into the Candy Factory website. And now the Candy Factory blog is just called Do. And from that came this podcast called Doers, which is a podcast we launched about maybe 2 months ago. We've released 10 episodes of Doers. So that's the long line.
What?
Wow. Between, but all a lot right. of people, but if you were from this area, Things to Do Lancaster was a very well-known.
So are we, what am I being asked to discuss here?
You're not being asked to discuss anything. This is actually a terrible topic for a guest.
So that's true. So I suggested this topic before we had ironed out what the format would be.
So you brought me here to tell me about Things to Do Lancaster.
Well, no, I was about to ask you, if somebody asked you, what things are there to do in Lancaster? What's your top three?
It's always like walking around and eating things and drinking things is like how I and Lisa, my partner, visit other cities. It's what we, you know, that's what we recommend to people here. So, if you're a coffee drinker, there's great coffee, Passenger, Square One. There's great food in Lancaster. Yeah. So, I mean, Luca, we like Luca. We have not been to Maison. I hear that's amazing. Horse Inn. Oh. Those are some of the, probably the like must visits for food.
Does one of those float to the top for you? Not that you're recommending to someone else, but for you and Lisa personally.
Food wise?
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, where's your go-to if you could only go to one restaurant in Lancaster?
If I could only go to one restaurant Ooh. In Lancaster, probably Horse Inn.
Yeah, that'd be my vote.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I've only been there once.
Oh.
I feel terrible. I feel like I'm completely missing. This is a total fear of missing out moment for me. I'm the guy on Facebook scrolling through going, "Ah, everyone else is on vacation."
Yep. Yeah, if you love burgers, it's...
Yeah, actually, Emily Truman.
Yes.
She was, at one point, I don't know what her stance on this is now, but she was mostly vegetarian, but when she really got a hankering for a burger, she would go to Horse Inn and eat their burger.
That's great.
It's like a really good burger. It's all locally sourced meat. Like, you know where it's coming from. So, yeah.
Someone I was talking to yesterday was eating potato salad, and they said, "I'm ignoring the bacon in this potato salad." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because I'm a vegetarian." I said, no, technically you're not, because you're eating potato salad with bacon.
You don't have to be too fundamentalist about that.
And that's the end of Things to Do.
That's the end of Things to Do.
Sorry, I'll go through and clean up the old.
Topic number two for this episode, wearable tech.
All right.
Jen.
I've got so many opinions on the Apple Watch. You're wearing one, James.
I am wearing one, yes.
Let's start with your most controversial opinion.
I think that... So I have an Apple Watch. I got an Apple Watch a few months ago. I want it to be more than what it is. I want it to be able to replace my phone, basically. Like, I think the watch at this point could, like, you could, instead of having a phone, I could do like primarily the Apple Watch,
mm-hmm.
and then a like iPad mini if I want, or something like that. But you can't do that. And like, the watch is actually surprisingly, like, people think that you wouldn't be able to do everything on the watch. And it's like, oh, no, you could do everything on the watch if it let you. But there are, like, limitations where it's like, oh, sorry, to read the rest of this email, go to your phone. So it's always assuming that your phone is nearby. And it's like, if they just got rid of the stupid limitations that they built into the watch, it would be a perfectly fine primary device. But for me, the watch, I haven't worn my watch. I got like a rash on my wrist from the watch band, probably because I don't wash it enough.
Oh.
And then I just stopped wearing it until that healed. And I was like, I don't feel any need to start putting this thing back on my body.
That's fair.
And if it could replace my phone, that would be great, right? Like, there's so many movements to like quit social media, stay away from the phone more, all of that stuff. If Apple wanted to, they could eat their own market. And like make the watch the primary thing instead of the phone the primary thing.
Well,
but that would
really
cut into their bottom line.
Do you really think people would give up, like, the? Because I feel like the same people who, and I mean, yes, speaking as someone who bought the watch, I can explain why I got the watch, but I'll come back to that. Like, the folks who, like the influencers, on social media who are the ones who get the more ridiculous expensive watches in the first place. Like, do you really think they would essentially leave their phone at home? I'm not sure that they're the same person. So this is
part of my theory, is that maybe a big part of the appeal of the Apple Watch is conspicuous consumption for a lot of people, maybe subliminally, subconsciously, but like the influencer thing certainly plays into that narrative. Like maybe that is why most people get them. For me, I didn't find a lot of draw. Like, sure, I can see the time faster and like I miss fewer messages when people are trying to get in touch with me, which is a good and a bad thing.
Right.
So, and I don't find fitness tracking,
right,
like, I don't care. Even when I'm going for a run, like, sometimes I go for a run without any devices on me and I don't even measure it.
How do you know what you did?
Yeah.
All right, so I feel completely left out again because while I'm aware of Apple Watches and their existence, I don't have one and have never really
and you
investigated.
You don't need to. Don't bother.
No, I'm not going to. But the question I guess I have is and for anybody out there who might be in the same position, so you have to have an iPhone to pair it with.
Yes.
Okay. And the iPhone is really the...
The primary.
Okay.
Yes.
And... maybe they will eventually go in the direction I want them to go in. When the iPhone started, it was very married to a computer, to iTunes, right? Yeah. It was like an extension of the iPod.
Mm-hmm.
And an iPod at that time required iTunes, and that's how you synced everything.
Right.
That's how you got your music onto your iPod in 2007. So it like... It was a descendant of the iPod, and it was married to the computer for a while.
Yeah.
When they finally got rid of that, like... I work in tech, right? And like mobile first became a thing and whole portions of the world don't even have computers anymore. It's just the phone.
Yep.
And I think they could do that again with the watch and like it would be tough, right? Yeah. And like a lot of apps wouldn't make sense. I don't know that I would ever want to like scroll Instagram on my wrist.
No.
But that's a benefit, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, what's
better?
What's the social impact of going to just watch in your opinion?
I mean, I do think it's a surprisingly good tool for things like even email, the like Apple's mail app, works surprisingly well on the watch.
Does.
So you can do communication stuff surprisingly well, but I don't think I would want to scroll a Facebook feed or scroll an Instagram feed or anything like that on my wrist. It's just like not enough screen to make
it's
it fun.
Not, and everything gets... It doesn't get, it's whatever pixelation is in reverse. Like, it's just like, what was that?
Yeah.
What is that supposed to be? And that doesn't really work. But I can tell you the reason I went with Apple Watch as a iPhone user, in my professional life, I'm always the youngest person in the room by at least 20 years.
Wow.
For me, I can't do the quick phone check because all the other older faces in the room would look at me as if I just, you know, aggrieved them horrendously. But I can quickly look at my watch to make sure that I'm not
missing
things.
I could talk about this for the rest of the podcast, to be honest.
Well, actually, you can't because we're off to topic number three, which is Star Wars.
All right.
A side note to the previous conversation, Diggs is actually 4 years old. So when he says he's the youngest by 20 years, they're all in their mid-20s.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
right.
True.
Star Wars. May the Force be with you.
The new trailer just came out.
I have not seen it. I have not seen the last two or three 18. Movies in the franchise.
How many movies are in this? Okay, let me say that I'm 48 years old, and so there's really just three.
There's Episode 4, 5, and 6, A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. That's where it ended, and
that was
it was
good.
Great.
Good job on the names because I totally was blanking.
I'm aware of the one, of course,
the prequels.
The terrible first one that came in. I mean, the first one,
a Phantom
that was the
Menace. Episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm aware
out
of them.
In what 99, 2000 somewhere.
Yeah, 2002.
How many movies are there?
I loved A Phantom Menace Episode 1 when it came out, but I was the target demographic. I was like 13 years old,
got
right?
It.
And so like we all stood in line outside of the tiny movie theater in our town, and we had like there were a lot of plastic lightsabers and
little
all that
town.
Stuff.
Where were you at the time?
I grew up in a small town called Yeagertown, right near Lewistown. If you drive to State College, you'll pass the exit signs for like Lewistown, Yeagertown, Burnham, Belleville.
Gotcha.
Those are the little towns that I
Gotcha, gotcha. And how, well, you said small theater. Yeah. How small are we talking?
I think it had...
4 seats.
Okay.
It was his uncle's basement, actually.
Ah, okay.
Yep, and people lined up outside of my uncle's basement.
Every 2 hours, he would just outside open the door, Bilko door, get out, kid. In the...
I could see that.
No, I don't know. It had maybe six like theater, like six what showrooms or whatever you call them in a theater. What's the like?
I have no idea what the term is.
Theater. In a movie theater, you have separate rooms.
They're
with
separate
a screen.
Theaters.
They're separate theaters within yeah. a.
Group
theater?
Of theaters
within a
what did I heard?
That's a
herd. Flock.
That's a, well, because I think the issue we're running into is that at one point there was just one room for movie
right.
theaters, and then it, you know, the movies would rotate. Through.
This is a much more interesting conversation than Star Wars, so let's stay with it.
Well, I actually
the semantics
was trying,
of
oh, that,
theaters.
Yeah, that's a good. Also, why do we still spell it the British way? Like that's a whole other thing.
The R E versus
yeah.
the
R E is for stage. Theater, says my brother who has a theater major.
Is that, okay.
Then, is that true?
I don't know. That's the rule that I live by.
I felt that it was like the S-H-O-P-P-E for shop.
Oh,
when you want to make a plaza look
yes.
fancy.
it yeah. probably is.
The shops.
But that's the rule that I live by. I don't even know if my brother lives by that rule, but I picked that up at some point and it felt important to me at the time.
Theatre.
I'll buy that.
Theatre.
Theatre.
Yes.
Well, that and like the Center Street in New York, in Manhattan, is still spelled the British way. They just never bothered to.
Centre?
Centre Street. Yeah, I swore it was Centre Street growing up because it was spelled that way. And then, of course, it's also where the police headquarters are, so you hear it a lot on TV growing up in New York. So then if you obviously I realized that they were saying Center Street.
Right.
Like, oh, all right. Well,
yep.
I can't be right.
Much to Chad's chagrin, let's just circle back real quick. Where are you? Where are you on the Star Wars?
I was trying to think of how many movies. I think it will be 11.
Because it was 4, 5, 6, the original.
Yep.
Then in the late 90s, early aughts, it was...
1, 2, 3. We should have a conversation about aughts. I said that to someone and they thought I was crazy. But anyway, 1, 2, 3.
And then there was just a few years ago. I saw the
oh,
like,
guys,
next
guys.
One.
The audience is totally going, just Google it, please.
Right, well, oh, well, that's true.
So
well,
where are you on
I
this
saw thing? That one, the one with Rey or whatever her name was. Who, she's like too much of a badass. And the like new, more badass Death Star that's yeah. like, you know, it can kill an entire solar system at once with these lasers that bend somehow. Like, yeah, I saw that one, and I haven't seen any others since then.
I have a feeling that we know where you are on the Star Wars saga here. It feels a little like maybe you're over it.
I was the target demographic at one point, and I'm not anymore.
18 years ago,
yeah,
you were
yeah,
totally
exactly, there. Yes.
So the count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So there will be 11. Movies.
All right.
And
I also
the
played the Star Wars card game as a kid. Didn't get as into it as
oh,
my brothers.
The one that came out for Phantom Menace.
I think it was out for a while before then. There was like a new updated version for a while. There was like two versions.
Fair enough.
But yeah, got very into the Star Wars card game. My younger brother like knew way more of the trivia than me. But yeah, we got into like the video games and the card game.
What was the basis of the card game?
It's like, you know, it's like the Pokemon card game or whatever. Or they're all based on Magic, right?
Okay.
They're all like knockoffs of Magic the Gathering. So you like buy different packs and sometimes you'll get like Darth Vader and Darth Vader is super powerful. And then whenever you play against your friends, you can like whoop up on them.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
Gonna Vader you.
Yeah.
That should be a verb.
Topic number four for this episode of 5x5 is PowerPoint, yay or nay?
All right.
I definitely suggested this.
It's so obvious that whoever would suggest this is a nay.
it was out of frustration in the moment because I was struggling with PowerPoint and I couldn't find a template that I had made for my office and it was buried under. I don't even know how it got buried so far into some subfolder that I never created, and I was like, you know what? This should be a topic because it when it's done right, it does look really good. I had a work event where one of my facilitators literally created her PowerPoint during the morning session, and I didn't think it was going to look amazing. I knew it would look presentable because she's done this before, It looked amazing. It was like she's just a PowerPoint whiz and got it pulled together in 3 hours. But otherwise, yeah, it can go to the way of the dodo.
Is that a thing? Are there PowerPoint, like, could you hire somebody to just make PowerPoint?
So
I guess a design firm would do that, right? I
had an interview once in New York City, and the company paid for my train fare, and I actually accidentally requested the Excelitrain. which, like, I would have purposely done it if I had noticed. I just didn't even notice, so I didn't. But anyway, lots of, it's the people who take Excel are exactly who you think they'd be. It's like a lot of young professionals in like business casual working on PowerPoints.
Yes.
So it seems to be like an entire demographic's job is just to make PowerPoint presentations.
It's the analyst associates that are like 2-3 years out of college that are working their way up their Fortune 500 or their, you know, right, the big four consulting firm.
Right.
Yeah. So it's,
but I'd also say I worked at, my first job out of college was working at Comcast, and I feel like there's a certain like middle management role who's like their main job is giving PowerPoint presentations, and they are almost always bad at it. Like I learned a few rules.
That's so true.
They're so bad at it. I learned like a few rules. There was this one credit course I had to take my last year in college, and like one of the classes was on how to give a good presentation.
It's a good class.
It was like one of the most useful, yeah, like, you know, it was 1 hour. Mm. But it was just a bunch of like, don't put bullet points on your slide, right? Like no one wants to read your notes. What happens if they're reading your note, if you put your notes on your slide, is people will half read the notes, half pay attention to you talking, and actually do both of those things poorly and get less out of it than if you just put up like a blank slide and told it to them.
Mm.
So like speaker notes are a thing. Learn to use the speaker notes, right? Like on the screen facing you, you can put up speaker notes. You can put your notes there,
yeah,
and then like actually put something on the slide that adds to your presentation instead, right, of distracting the audience.
Because I feel like was the rule really no bullet points, or just no bullet points that are like three sentences long?
Yeah, basically the latter, right? Okay. Like you can put up bullet points if you want to, like, I would say probably my own slide style since then has been like as little on each slide as possible. But mm-hmm. if you wanted to do like one bullet point gets added, and then like when you hit the arrow or the clicker again, the next bullet point gets added.
Yes.
Sure. But like, don't throw up your entire like list of notes.
Yeah, that bugs me.
And then
yeah.
turn around, put your back to the audience, and read it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's like, then why do we need you? Did you need to be yes. paid to be here?
Yes. So I think PowerPoint, yay. Sure, PowerPoint or whatever else you're going to use. I don't use the particular software PowerPoint, but I have given presentations. And like, yes, you can do it very effectively, but like, most of the examples out there, there's lots of research showing this like split attention thing. It's a very real phenomenon where like audiences get less out of it if you put up too much on your slides.
Well, what do you use? You said you don't use.
I mean, I'm a nerd, so I use Reveal.js.
What is that?
It's a JavaScript library. You go to like chatto.com/talks.html.
Okay.
You can get a link to some of my talks. And you'll see my slides on there. That's how they... So I actually present them from my website.
Oh, that's a good idea, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't mean to mock you. But no, I think it's interesting how PowerPoint, was really shiny, mm-hmm. like in the early aughts. I'm going to go there. Uh-huh. And it was like this, wow.
That's amazing. Yeah. Look at that transition.
Yeah. Well, it was all transparencies before then, right? Like it killed transparencies. And that
totally
was,
killed the transparency.
And like
business.
Projectors became ubiquitous, so you could like rely on
right.
oh, like, stuff like oh, PowerPoint. I see.
But PowerPoint became sort of like Band-Aid. It became like the name that you associate for any slide presentation.
Right.
Not for people who are really technical, but for your average person, it's like,
right.
do you have a PowerPoint? And you'd be like, yeah. And you mm-hmm. pull up a Google Slides presentation or a keynote or something like that.
Right.
But it's like the name. It's the Band-Aid or
it
the
is.
Kleenex.
It is.
Of
yes.
slide presentations.
Oh, I was going to say, I wonder if Microsoft sued people and that's why job ads all have slide deck now.
Oh, maybe so. That's
pitch
the end
deck.
Of mm-hmm. Topic number four, our last topic for this episode is y'all use yins.
Great topic. You've picked a lot of things that I have weirdly strong opinions about.
No. We didn't pick. It was random.
Well, I mean, you added things to the list that this random draw is pulling from.
Which one is yours?
I feel like Y'all has the largest speaker base behind it. So I grew up without any of them in particular. A lot of people in my area said, what? I mean, you guys. Obviously, yeah. You guys is a thing. Mm. And then, what was the other one? Yinz, I guess Yinz was
Up, it was Yinz. I'm Western Pennsylvania.
I was Central Pennsylvania, and it was like split between, like a lot of the, linguistically, it's split between like Philly and Pittsburgh.
Right.
So we said soda. Some people said soda, some people said pop, actually. There were more soda people, but like, Pittsburgh is all pop.
Yeah, I feel like that mountain range that you would have been right on the...
Right in it, really.
Yeah, really, right in it. It's where it gets gray and fuzzy, but...
Yeah, we all said hoagie.
Oh.
Yeah, what did he say in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, hoagie.
Hoagie, oh.
But I'm just surprised that it's down here.
Well, see, I grew up with Hero.
New York is Hero.
My mom grew up in New England, where they say grinder.
But see, grinder to me was something that, like, grinder and sub were the... They were the grilled hot ones.
Oh. No.
Wait,
no,
sub's
no
hot?
Such distinction exists in my mind.
It depended on like a meatball sub was hot.
Mm, but a Hero is cold.
A Hero is cold. That's the cold cut
turkey. A Hero is a sandwich on longer bread.
Yes.
We need special words for that category of food.
Yeah. I forget what it was in Jersey when I was in high school, but I remember I think they say hoagie too. Yeah, because Hoagie Haven's in.
Is a hot dog a sandwich? No, it is a Hero.
Oh, that's fair.
So what did Yinz guys say up in New York?
Well, it's
Yinz guys. Combine them. There you
go. I like that, Yinz guys.
Not just you guys or Yinz.
Right.
Yinz guys.
Well, y'all's guys.
Y'all's
guys. I grew up in a Southern family, so we said so y'all. But
that's my point. Like everyone in the Southern U.S. says y'all. Mm-hmm. And like... I think I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about the original language of something, and they like in the original language this text said like you all. It said y'all.
Oh,
I see. I was like, it's annoying that English doesn't have a second person plural. Like, what a dumb limitation of a language. and then I just like decided I didn't live around a lot of people who said y'all, but I was like, y'all wins in my mind, right? Like there are a lot of people in the U.S. already saying y'all. Yins, yous are pretty small regional areas. Yeah. And you guys has the like gendered.
Right.
You know, it would be nice to have one that's not gendered. Mm-hmm. So y'all wins. Just adopted y'all. It's fun to start like adopting. It's been fun to work it into my language more and more.
Y'all.
Yeah.
You know what the plural of y'all is? All y'all. If you're in Tennessee.
Y'all is the plural.
No, but in Tennessee, it's y'all and all y'all.
Yeah. Because it's, I don't know, because that also happens in other places in the South too. Because
that's my experience.
No, it's true. It's the emphasizing of
all y'all.
Yeah. Usually you're mad.
Yeah.
Usually it's a, you're pissed at people.
I mean, it's not the plural. It's like a way to emphasize it. Sure. Yeah,
That's fair. Have you spent time in the South?
I haven't really. I have, I mean, North Carolina, but in like the northernish parts of North Carolina.
No, that still counts.
As in like the parts where no one speaks with a Southern accent.
Got it.
Oh. Few people speak with a Southern accent.
I see.
Chapel Hill. My brother lives in Chapel Hill.
Okay. So
my sister-in-law is from Alabama, and so like I get more. Yeah. So I've known people from the South, but I haven't like spent time where people really speak with the y'all accent a lot.
Well, the first time you get her to the point where she says all y'all, you'll
that's the line.
then you're really family. and I think there's another one that I wanted to add because. What do I have there? Y'all,
yous, and yins.
What is with yuins?
Yuins. That's kind of what they said where I grew up.
Yeah, but
yuins.
I don't even get it. Like that's
yuins.
Yeah, yeah. See,
or yous. Some people say yous.
Yeah,
right?
Yous.
Yous makes more sense. I don't know why. It just in my head. I'm not saying
you
actually logically.
Apostrophe ns. Yeah. What does the ns come from?
No, I don't. I was hoping someone would. I thought it was like a weird contraction of youngins.
I know, it seems like
at some point, but it just got
Nope.
Screwed up in
what do they say in California, like when you go out west?
Hang ten.
They say
they don't.
They might just say you or all of you. Probably you guys.
You guys.
I don't know.
Sounds like it would be a Californian
thing. What did they say? 90210.
We'll have to research that.
Yeah.
We'll get back to you on the next episode.
The next episode we're going to talk
five
about.
5x5.
902. Add that to the list.
Done.
Chad O, thanks so much for joining us for 5x5.
Great to be here.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's a wrap.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is recorded at the studios of The Candy Factory,
a co-working campus in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
The show is produced and hosted by Jason Mundock,
along with co-host Robert Diggs, regularly joining the Yakety Yakking.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast
are solely those of the expressor.
The Candy Factory is not in any way responsible if anyone said something stupid.
Our theme music was composed
and recorded by a really cool guy.
Really cool guy.
A really cool guy.
Really cool guy named John Chin.
Relevant links and show notes can be found on the show post
at the Candy Factory website,
coworkinginlancaster.com.
Maybe that's it.
Is that it? Okay.